You often hear the voice of Neil Conan on AM 580 just before you hear the voice of, say, President Bush or Arlen Specter or any other newsmaker. Conan hosts many of the special coverage broadcasts for NPR, such as presidential news conferences, congressional hearings, moderating the discussion and analysis after all those events. And he hosts the public radio talk program Talk of the Nation. This Saturday night at Hatfield Hall on the campus of Rose Holman Institute of Technology in Terre Haute, Indiana, you'll hear Neil Conan's voice with different people, the words of Shakespeare and other poets, accompanied by the music of a group called Ensemble Galilei. The result is a presentation called Universe of Dreams. And Neil Conan joins us from Washington, D.C. This afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Tom.
And this has its roots in a visual element, the Universe of Dreams presentation.
Yeah, it was originally conceived of as a planetarium show. The idea was to incorporate great music, great poetry, and the amazing images from the Hubble Space Telescope, which we've all seen them, you know, in the newspapers and in magazines, and even small, they're pretty amazing. The resolution on these pictures is phenomenal, and you project them on a big screen, it really takes your breath away.
And so how did the concept begin to combine these pictures with music and with poetry?
It was really Carolyn Surik's idea. I'd worked with Ensemble Galilei before. They did used to do an annual Christmas show at St. John's College in Annapolis. And, to be blunt, they got bored playing the same old stuff. And Carolyn suggested, she's a friend of mine, and thought maybe we could add some poetry to it and make it a little bit different. And I was happy to get involved with it, and it sounded like fun, certainly a break from potatoes from what I normally do. And that turned out real well. And then she came up with this idea for this show, and we've had great fun with it. We've been touring around the country for the past couple of years with it.
Now, Ensemble Galilei is known for its Celtic music. How much of a departure is this from that, or does it sort of have roots in that too?
It's Celtic and Renaissance music, and there's an extraordinary group of musicians who, you know, frankly, what I get out of it, I get to sit on stage with these amazing musicians night after night in rehearsal. Rehearsals are fun too, but it's amazing how much better the program is if they play it straight through without stopping to argue for 10 minutes after each piece.
Which is part of your rehearsal practice.
Yeah, everybody does that in rehearsal. But it's they are astonishing, and some of them are Celtic-based musicians and come from that tradition. Others are classically trained musicians and really come from the tradition of Renaissance music. The Galilei, for whom this is named, is the father of Galileo Galilei, the great astronomer, who was an important musician and really brought about modern music in some ways.
And somehow ties us all together with the Hubble Space Telescope
Indeed.
Pictures. You touched on this earlier, but I'd like to look a little deeper into this. How did you get involved in this, in doing this type of presentation, as opposed to, obviously, what you normally do, host a radio talk program?
The opportunity, it's a great, believe me, I love radio. Radio is my first love. I've done radio since I was 17 years old, and I've done all kinds of radio, and that also puts the bread and butter on the table. But the opportunity to be in front of live audiences and some of the halls we play, it's so great to go to the Zeiterion Theater in New Bedford, Massachusetts, that opened originally as a vaudeville house. Mm-hmm. A lot of the places we play are college halls, which are relatively new, and they're fun to play, too. But it's really the audiences, and you get to connect with people in a much more direct way. And it's also wonderful to read the poetry. I continue to find new ways to interpret it, to read it. I learn more and more about it every time I do it.
Shakespeare is one source of the poetry. What else?
There's some modern American poets. Mary Oliver, for example. I think people may know I'm blanking on the guy's name. Jim Harrison. He does, of course, a great novelist as well as a great poet. And their words are so dense, and the rhythms are so interesting. I still feel, like I say, we've been doing this for a few years now, and there's a couple I think I've never gotten exactly right.
What kind of conscious effort, then, is it to marry the words with the music, to match specific pieces of poetry with specific music?
That was an incredible, this all took place when we put this show together, and the musicians gathered in Carolyn's house in Annapolis, and I was there. And what we did was, first we picked the poetry, and then we tried to find what music would fit the poetry. And really, it was the goosebump test. When you got goosebumps, it worked.
works fine. Have you done this type of thing before with performance narration?
Never. And that's, you know, I really do enjoy it. And it's a challenge. Obviously, I'm doing something different every day on the radio. And it's live radio, so if you stumble a little bit, hey, you know, it's not going to ever be perfect. It's no big deal. And here, there's a completely different challenge.
It adds that real-time element.
Well, you know, these musicians, they're great musicians, and they know when they're supposed to come in and when they're supposed to get out. I am no musician, believe you me. And to try to keep up with them, it's not easy.
But I assume you have ways of catching up if somebody makes a mistake? Or...
Yeah, absolutely. I'm usually the one that makes the mistake, so they have to catch up to me.
You also, as I mentioned before, host a lot of the special coverage from NPR and talking about, you know, having to improvise when things go not as planned. And if there is a place where things don't go as planned, it's in Washington, D.C.
You bet.
How do you work with that? How do you you're on a tightrope every time you do a live event?
You're working without a net, absolutely. That's the magic of live radio. You may remember a few years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, I left NPR for a summer to do play-by-play for a minor league baseball team.
Mm.
And that, too, is working without a net.
Of course.
No matter how much preparation you do, no matter how ready you think you are for the game, as soon as it starts, there's no script. And you could end up with a, you know, 13-9 slugfest. You could end up with a, you know, 2-1 pitcher's duel. You know, you have to be ready and flexible. I really learned an awful lot about myself and about broadcasting, doing minor league baseball. And at the end of the season, I came away absolutely determined that whatever I was going to do, I still wanted to do radio, of course. But whatever I was going to do, it was going to be live radio. You know, if it was going to be play-by-play, which I would dearly love to do, but the minor leagues. Let me put it this way: my wife was so pleased that I managed to locate a sector of the broadcast industry that paid less than public radio.
Maybe the only sector.
Yeah.
Plus the travel's probably about the same way. So.
Yeah, well, you get to ride a lot of buses.
There is some preparation involved, though, I would think, with doing live radio.
You've got to
have something to fill time.
Preparation is the prerequisite for live radio. I spend just doing Talk of the Nation. I take 2 or 3 hours of homework home every night. When we do book interviews, I read the books. And my staff is great at, you know, whittling down the amount that I have to read to prepare myself for each program, but there's an enormous amount of preparation involved for every show.
How do you prepare, though, for live events where you may have 10 seconds to introduce the president immediately, or as the case was with his speech to the United Nations, which was delayed by more than an hour yesterday, you have more than an hour?
Yeah, you have to be ready. Luckily, I've had a lifetime on the air. Like I said, I started when I was 17, so I've made most of my mistakes a long time ago, and you have to be fluent with the issues, and you have to be lucky and have some good guests who can carry you through, and that's one thing that NPR has been really good about. When you've got a Lauren Jenkins and a Ron Elving in the studio with you, you feel a little bit more comfortable. But the fact of the matter is, if you're doing live radio and you don't get scared, you're doing something wrong.
How do you get those guests, though? How do you, I mean, you have the NPR stable of experts, of
yes.
course, but you
yeah.
also bring in people from the outside. How do you get them? How do you prepare them to work with you?
That's mostly the work of the staff here
okay.
on Talk of the Nation. We double as the events production staff for most of the events. Obviously, if something happens, you know, the State of the Union message, that's Siegel and Wertheimer and the ATC crew. So that we don't get involved with that, but most of these events are during the day. And we end up doing those, and the staff is just as terrific as booking for those events as they are as for booking guests for Talk of the Nation.
And as a hobby, you can count reading poetry in front of live audiences with pictures of the Hubble Space Telescope from the Hubble Telescope on the side.
Yeah, absolutely. It is enormous fun to do, and it's a great way to meet listeners, too.
And you will be able to meet some listeners in Terre Haute, Indiana, coming up on Saturday at 8 p.m. The
mm-hmm.
presentation is called Universe of Dreams, and you can buy tickets on campus at Rose Hallman at Hatfield Hall's ticket office, and you can call them during the week by calling them at area code 812-877-8544. And what recommendations do you have for people coming to Hatfield Hall on Saturday?
Be prepared to be blown away.
All right. Neil Conan from NPR, from the show Talk of the Nation. And presenting something a little bit different this weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Tom, thanks very much.